chapter 13. Remember that in chapter 1, we have Joshua, the military leader of the armies and nation of Israel. But now, after these 12 chapters, we come to chapter 13, and it says, "Now Joshua was old and well stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and well stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. This is land that yet remaineth, all the regions of the Philistines and all the Geshurites, from the Shihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the border of Ekron northward, which is reckoned to the Canaanites." And God goes down step by step and tells them all the places that they need to go in and possess. But please notice, Joshua was old and well stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, "Thou art old." Now, chapter 23, and this is different from other portions, inasmuch as instead of one farewell address, we have two farewell addresses. So in chapter 23, let me read that to you, and we'll see just how much of it we can cover. And then 24, notice the repetition in verse 1, "And it came to pass after many days, when the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, and Joshua was old and well stricken in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and well stricken in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, he it is that hath fought for you. Behold, I have allotted unto you these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun. And the Lord your God, he will thrust them out before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess their land as the Lord your God spake unto you." Now, the points start coming that they are to remember. "Therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." Now that is obedience. 7. "That you come not among the nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them." That is separation. Verse 8. "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day." That is devotion. "For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath stood before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he spake unto you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God." So think. Here we have obedience, separation, devotion, love. These are the things that Joshua demands in his old age of the remaining Israelites. Verse 12. "Else, if you do at all go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations." Look at verse 8. "Cleave unto the Lord your God." But look at verse 12. "Else, if you at all go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, this is what you call being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is the opposite of separation. And what separation means, we'll see. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive these nations from out of your sight. But they shall be a snare and a trap unto you, and a scourge in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof. And it shall come to pass, that is, all the good things are come upon you of which the Lord your God spake unto you, so will the Lord bring upon you all the evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods, and bow down yourselves to them, then will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall quickly perish from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for, among all the failures of the children of God, there are some that are faithful servants of God. We are thankful for Joshua. We say, our God, that from a young man he began serving you. And we see that now as an old man, he is still serving you. We thank you, our Father, for this testimony. We pray, our God, that even after this day is passed, in thy will, that we shall go back and read this book of Joshua and review all the things that occurred in every chapter, our God, and learn how important this man is among the heroes that you have raised up to serve the children of Israel, like unto those that you raised up to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we desire to learn from these things that Joshua spoke in his old age. By your Spirit, illumine us and empower us and give us attentive and obedient hearts. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are three stages in the life of Joshua. That's why I read to you, first of all, in Exodus 33. At that time, when he started serving as Moses' minister, he was a young man. But I read to you in Joshua 13 that he is no longer described as young, but as old. And I read to you in the first part of the book of Joshua, because at that time, he was a mature man. So, once we pass from childhood, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child, now that I've become a man. And so, the man Joshua is the military leader of Israel, but this man that has faithfully led Israel all these years, now it finally says that he is an old man. Now, I want to tell you something that is startling. There is someone here that we call Junior. You know him as Reggie. Do you realize that this one has been preaching to him for over 50 years? Think of that. I've been preaching to him 50 years, and they still invite me back. Isn't that remarkable? I was just thinking of that. 50 years ago, I was a young man. And at that time, I would give my testimony. I would tell what I could from the Word of God. Many times they would say, "Now, what are you going to preach from? What has God given you? What has He laid on your heart?" At that time, it wasn't what God had laid on my heart. It was the only message I had at that time. That's what I had to preach. No special revelations. It was what I had. But now, why, there was so much that if I live many, many more years, I can never exhaust all the reserves that I have from the Word of God. But think of that. And so now I can say this. David said, "I have been young and now am old. I'm over 80 years. So I am an old man." And so I thank God for His faithfulness all these years. It is not that I've lived for God with full devotion, but as the Lord said in Genesis chapter 20 concerning Abimelech, "I have withheld thee from sinning against me." How often would there have been stumbling and falling and utter ruin? But just as God sustained Joshua, God sustains others. And I spoke to the people of God in my youth, and as a mature man, and now I speak to the people of God as an old man. And I do it for this reason. I know, and I do not try to deny, I do not try to conceal the fact that I am an old man. Paul speaks of himself as Paul the aged, and he was only about 60 years old then. And here is how you know that you're an old man. When people come to you and say, as they did to Samuel, "You are an old man and your children are not doing the will of God." When people start telling you you're an old man, that is one thing. And then you go and you're shaving one day in the mirror and you notice all the wrinkles and you notice the sagging skin and the gray hair. And you say to yourself, "Why, I'm an old man." But worst of all is this, because there's no controversy. When God comes to you and says, "You are an old man," then you are an old man. And so all of these things are said of Joshua. But think, to have grown old in the service of God, how old are you? What have you done with the years that you've lived? At least I can look back, however imperfect it is, and say that I have been a minister of God's Word for over 50 years, and I've been commended as a minister of God's Word for over 40 years. And so I can look back, and people come and tell me about the ministry that I've given. And so as an old man, I can speak and tell you about being young and mature and old. Now, you young people can only say this: "I know that God is going to be faithful." How do you know it? You only know it by faith. I can say, "I know that God will be faithful because God has been faithful." David could say, "I've been young and am old." You young people can never say with me, "I have been young and am old." Many years down the road, you can say, "I am old." But now you say, "I am young," and you can only speak as a young man. But then after you become old, you can say with David and you can say with Joshua that you are old. And what is so delightful is this, that you can look back over a life as the end of your life draws near, because that's the next thing that we do not deny. Unless the Lord Jesus comes, the Bible mentions 80 and then 80. But as you live after 70, if things go normally, it says the days of our years are 80 years. Or if by reason of strength they are 80 years, that is 80 years, yet is there pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. The Lord said to Adam when he sinned, you are dust, and you're going to return to dust. And Joshua said this. He said, I am going the way of all the earth, and you are too. Unless Christ comes, you're going to die. And Joshua has now come to that time and said, I'm going the way of all the earth. He was old in chapter 23, and yet he is older still in chapter 24. But in his old age, his heart's desire is to still bring the people of God to remembrance of what God expects of them. He can look back over his life, and he can think that his life has been fought fighting the battles of God. And think of your life fighting with your wife, your children, your associates in the world. Those are the fights that so many people have. But Joshua could say, I have fought the battles of my God. I've led others. I've given encouragement. I've done everything I could to make the people of God victorious and to make the people of God strong. And he said, now in my old age, I'm not able to do what I used to do. I'm not like Caleb when he was 85 years old. This is what Caleb said, and this is not normal, but abnormal. He said, I'm 85 years old. He said, I can still go out. I can come in. I can still go and fight battles. And this is what I was telling them in brief about Joshua 14 and 15. Caleb said, I want to go and take that region of the promised land that is filled with giants. I'm 85 years old, and I want to fight giants. Now, how many young people who should be doing the strong, the hard work can say, I'm ready to fight giants? Why, you're not even willing to fight those that are your equals. But there are some who grow old, and they're able to fight giants. And they want to fight giants. There is still that spirit of fight, the good fight of faith in them. It was in Caleb. And here is Joshua, and he's done everything he can. And God says, you're old, and you're well stricken in years. And so Joshua cannot say with Caleb, I know how to go out. I can still come in. I can still fight giants. He knows that. But there is one thing that old men can do, and I thank God that I can do that. I still am able to speak to young men as an old man about the faithfulness of God and also about the expectations of God. And so you have to listen to me, because you cannot say as some, how does he know? If after over 50 years I tell you that these things are true, you cannot say, how does he know? You can say, well, it was true for him. And what has been true for me will be true for you. You must understand that. God has somebody to do a special thing for, but all of us have promises, exceeding great and precious promises, and these are given for all of us. So this is what Joshua is telling them. And he says, as I cannot stay with you much longer, he says, the important thing for you is to keep all the word of God. Obedience, that is the thing. Now, when you read the word of God, why do you read it? If you read it and you see its demands that are laid upon you and you have no intention of obeying them, you're bringing judgment upon yourself, not blessing upon yourself. Do you not realize that the more you know of the word of God and the more that you boast about being at a place that preaches faith in the word of God, that you are responsible to obey the word of God? This is what Samuel had to tell King Saul. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And so with all of your religiosity, God says this, are you doing the things that I commanded you to do? And so with all of these things, the pretended prayers, the preaching, God says, are you obeying my word? Some want to be elders, but it says you have to have your own household in subjection. You have to have certain qualifications. And yet, Some people want to preside. They want to take leadership. But God says, you have to do this first. Not given to much wine. You have to be apt to teach. It gives us qualifications. And all that God's Word teaches, He expects us to obey. That is the important thing. He says, you must obey. Now, here is something that has become more difficult for the children of Israel. And this is what Joshua sees. He says, God destroyed those that came out and fought against you, but there are so many of the nations left in the land. And you live in the land, and they live in the land. Even though you are side by side with them, I want you to live separated lives. And you are in the world. And what God expects of you is to live a separated life. Here is what I see. I look at the way that people dress. I look at the way that people fashion their hair. I hear the way they talk. I see their interests. And I understand that they're not separated from the world. They're just like the world. You realize that the early church was so distinct from the world that it said that they had great respect from the world, but nobody dared join himself to them. Why? Because the judgment of God was falling upon them when sin was committed. And here, Joshua is warning about not being separated from the world. It says, you'll go in among them, you will marry them, you will have communion with them, you'll have business partnership with them. All of these things are forbidden in God's Word. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And the sad thing is this. Some young people look upon a girl or a fellow and they say, I know God wants me to marry that man. I know that God wants me to marry that woman. And I ask the question, then this man, that woman you want to marry, they are saved. Oh, well, I don't know about that, but I still know that God wants me to marry them. If they are not saved, God does not want you as a Christian to marry them. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate. God does not want unequal yokes. And this is just what he's telling them. Do you not realize that King Solomon, what destroyed him, who started out so well, he loved God and God loved him. But it says he married many foreign women. And it said they turned his heart away from God and they turned him to idolatry. Why? Because he was unequally yoked together with the nations round about. God wants us to be a separate people. It says now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. But we do not want to be separate from the world. And the sad thing is this, that if you who are truly saved are among young people, tell me, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself in school and in the world, can the world tell any difference between you and them? Even Lot, in the city of Sodom, at least they knew that he was different because Lot would speak. But what is so sad is that in the assemblies, I look and I can't tell any difference. And the way that we try to worship God, you look at it and what happens is that it's just like the world. And that's the sad thing. There should be a distinction. It says God makes a distinction between the clean and the unclean. What is right and what is wrong. And so know the world. All that is in the world. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. It's not of God, but it's of the world. And the world passes away. And so his message to them is this. He says, be separate from the world and cleave unto the Lord. And notice the word he uses, be courageous to obey the Lord. It takes courage to obey the Lord. For this reason, when the world is telling you, and this is why so many start using tobacco, start drinking, start using drugs, Because it takes courage to say, no, I'm going to obey God. And God says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And God tells us that we should be sober, of a sound mind. And it takes courage to be obedient, and it takes courage to be separate, and it takes courage to cleave unto the Lord. Look, what does it mean to cleave unto the Lord? Do you remember Ruth, when Naomi was telling her, go back to your people, go back to your gods? And Ruth said, I shall never leave you. You have taught me the true God, and I'm going to cleave to you, and nothing but death shall separate us. And this is what God would have us to do. To look at the world and all its gods, and then to say, I renounce those gods, and I'm going to cleave unto the one true God, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the same exhortation that Barnabas gave in Acts chapter 11. He went and he saw that church at Antioch. And when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. And that is what we want. Christians that are going to be faithful and cleave to the Lord. Now, this. And it says, you are to love the Lord, your God. To love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the Lord Jesus says, and you are to love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So what kind of Christian are you? Tell me. Here is an old man talking to you, because someday you're going to be an old man. And what do you know about the Word of God? How are you able to witness? How are you able to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you? This is what Joshua has tried to do. He has taught them how to fight. He has taught them the Word of God, because he said, we're going to read every word that God has given us by Moses. And at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, that is what he did. He put them in mind of the Word of God. He sets up and helps establish the tabernacle of the congregation. And so this man has done everything to teach them the ways of God. Now, I will tell you a little bit about chapter 24. Look at it. Look at chapter 24, because we have several things I want you to learn that he teaches us there. He speaks about ancestry. He speaks about experience. He sets an example, and he leaves a legacy. Look now at verse 2. Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, your fathers dwelt of old time beyond the river, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. Notice, this is their ancestry. He tells them about their forefathers before they ever came into existence. But now, look at verse 5. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did in the midst thereof, and afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. Now, we pass from ancestry to experience. It's something that in their own generation they've gone through. Some of them are standing here who have been led by God through the wilderness, and they are alive to this day. And so it is no longer ancestry, but it is experience. Now, look at this. Look at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. You see, he points back to their ancestry. Look, you are descended from idolaters. Your fathers served gods beyond the river. He says, now you put away these gods and serve the Lord. Look at verse 15, because this is perhaps the most famous verse in the book of Joshua. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which they served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here is the example. His whole life long he served the Lord. He is now ready to die. And in his old age, he says with his last breath, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of you that have families are determined that you and your children as well shall be testimonies to God. Some of you have given up on your children, and some of you cannot be elders because of your children. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. It takes courage to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And this is what Joshua says that he has done. And this is what he did do his whole life long. Now, I want you to look at this verse, verse 31. This is Joshua's legacy. And it came to pass after these things, verse 29, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. If I can keep the faith, if I live to 110. And so he lived 110 years old, and he was faithful with his whole family unto the end. But it says he died being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of the mountain of Gaash. Now notice this. This is his legacy. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua and had known all the work of the Lord that he had worked for Israel. Joshua and those that were influenced by Joshua, the children of Israel, still continued to serve. But when you get in the book of Judges, Joshua is dead, and the elders are dead, and nobody is left, and they go and serve other gods. But this is Joshua's legacy, that he himself, and then those that were associated with him, were testimonies for God, and that's the legacy that he left to the world. And here's what I want to know. When you are ready to die, what will people say about you? What will they say about your children that you've had? Will they say, his legacy is this. He served God 110 years, 80 years, 80 years, his whole life long, and his children served the Lord. And those that he preached to in church, they served the Lord. And this is the legacy that you can leave behind even after you are dead. That's what Peter wants to do. He says, I'm trying to put you in remembrance that after my departure, you can remember these things. And so I want to help God's people while I'm alive. And I want to train young men so that after I'm gone, they will help the people of God and all of those that you influence. And so this is the life of Joshua. As a young man, he lived for God. As an old man, he died for God. And listen to his testimony. This is beautiful. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, a servant of the Lord, died. If someone says concerning me, John Milton Mills, he's the son of John Maple Mills, and he was a servant of the Lord his whole life long. Nothing better, nothing more needs be said of me. May it be true of us all. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that every promise that you've made in our own lives, as us who have been young and are now old, they've come to pass. Great is thy faithfulness. You have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that is true. We rejoice and we can say, hitherto hast thou helped us. We can say that not by faith, but by experience. But by faith we can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank you for the promises of this life and of life to come. So help us to look at this life of Joshua and help us to follow his example and be determined by the grace of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.